Let's take our Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in our Bible this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our theme for this year is hope. We've determined and defined hope as being a confident expectation according to the biblical definition. We have stated that its significance in our lives to bring peace and joy, and our hearts can be flooded and filled with peace and joy because of the hope that is in us through believing. We have said that hope is a wonderful thing, and certainly it is. But this morning we are going to preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And according to the last verse of the chapter, there is something that is greater than hope. And the title of the message this morning is A Love Greater Than Hope. When you think of the word love, different things probably come to your mind and your heart. As many people, different definitions of it. I'm sure if we took a poll, even in the room this morning, there'll be different definitions and different aspects, so many similar thoughts to it. They would vary somewhat. We probably have different ideas of what it would mean, but basically it's being caring and kind and compassionate would probably be the basis of those definitions and thoughts of love. But even our definitions being similar, I'm sure the practical outworking of what it means to love somebody would probably vary quite a bit. What a person would or would not do because of love really defines what love means to them. And, you know, the story is of the young man who said he was so deeply in love with his sweetheart that he said, you know, I would climb the highest mountain for you. And I would cross the most raging wild sea to be with you and to spend time with you. I'd fight the strongest foe and be deprived of all life has to offer just for you. And I can't wait to see you next. And so, you know, she probably in today's technology texted back, well, when can you come? Well, you know, I can't come tonight because they're forecasting a little bit of snow. You know, I mean, how much, what is love? I mean, what would you do for love? We make all kinds of claims, but the proof really is on what we are willing to do or not do because of love. Sadly, in our world today, love means little more than lust in many situations. Love isn't often about what we can give, but about what we can get, as far as the definition in many people's minds. What can I get out of this situation? What can I get out of this relationship? And commitment is less a factor, and convenience is more of a factor in what many people would consider about love in our society at large today. But what does the God say about love? What does the one whose name is associated with love, as far as God is love, is a verse in Scripture. The Bible says God is love. What does the author of life, the Creator Himself, say about love? Well, we'll see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. It says that the greatest of these is charity. A love greater than hope. Let's pray together as we begin the message. Lord, again, we are thankful that we can be here. Thankful, Lord, that we have the Bible before us, that we can see what You, the author of life, the creator of this world, and the creator of us, has to say about this very important topic of our life, and that is love. Lord, we thank You that You are the one who has demonstrated love in so great and powerful a way that there's no question of Your love to us. And thank You, Lord, that You do love us with an everlasting love. Lord, I pray as we consider this portion of Scripture this morning and these thoughts about love, that our hearts would be touched. Lord, that we would realize not only the love that You have for us, but the love that we need to have one for another. And Lord, that this love would flow through in our lives, Lord, to reach the world even for Your glory and Your honor. And so, Lord, according to the need of our life this morning, I pray that You speak to us through Your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The value of love is seen in verses 1 to 3. I fear often we fail to see the value of love and what it can do, and the love in what we do, or what motivates us to do the things that we do. Sometimes we think of love at this time of the year, well, love is a box of chocolates for my wife, for my girlfriend, or you ladies, you know, a box of chocolates for your husband, and or whatever. You know, I mean, we think that's love. Okay, it's the 14th of February. That's the day I'm supposed to do something nice and show my love. But love should be a motivating factor in our life, and the things that we do, if we do them without love, are often very hollow and very shallow. We see the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, basically, that ability without love is nothing. We place great value on ability today. Somebody's talent, somebody's education level, somebody's skill levels, and so on. We admire those who can do things. We admire those who have educational degrees and so on. Maybe an actor, a musician, a public speaker, a person who can speak many languages, and we put them up on a pedestal to say, wow, look at what they can do. That is amazing. But the Apostle Paul says here that even if he could speak all kinds of human languages, without love, it would be empty. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, the tongues doesn't mean this little piece of flesh in your mouth, but he's speaking about the languages. He said, if I could speak all the languages of the world, then that would be an amazing thing. And we hear of people who speak, you know, I admire those of you, I know there's several here who can speak two languages and maybe some three languages and so on. I admire that. I think that's awesome. I speak English, basically, anyways, and I know a little bit of French, enough to get me in trouble, but I don't consider myself even bilingual. I think it would be a wonderful thing to be able to speak many languages. The Apostle Paul says not only the tongue of men, but also of angels. He said, if I could speak as the angels speak, I don't know what language, what heavenly language necessarily he was referring to, but he's saying, if I could speak all these languages fluently, if I don't have love, it's nothing. If I just do those things, I have that talent, he said it would be as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now I play a trombone a little bit, kind of like my French. I play it enough to get me in trouble, but I can make some sound out of that. A little bit of sound. But you get somebody who can sound a brass instrument and it can make some noise. Played a baritone a little bit in high school, and my friend, it was a secondary instrument for me, and my friend as a secondary instrument for a little while, he played a tuba. So one time in church, we borrowed a tuba and a baritone from the school, and we played a song. And, you know, the people that were in the congregation said, I mean, they could feel their rib cages rattling. I mean, there's a lot of sound coming out of those things, those brass instruments. But Paul said that without love, it's just a sound, an empty sound. Or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, without love as a basis for what he was doing, he said, it's really nothing. You say, but it would be an amazing thing to be able to speak those languages and do those things. He said, but without love, it is as nothing. The Bible says that we ought to speak the truth in love. Love ought to be the basis of our speaking. Ability, no matter how great, whatever ability it may be, without love is really empty. You know, that may sound in a way discouraging, but really it's encouraging because our abilities vary a lot. But our love is something we have control over. We may say, I can't necessarily speak all those languages. I can't necessarily do the amazing things other people can do, but I can love. I can choose to be a loving person, a caring person, a basis for our life. He goes on to say in verse number 2 that basically religion without love is nothing. And he says here in verse number 2, he says that though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What is religion without love? The gift of prophecy, to be able to communicate God's truth to people. See, well, that would be a wonderful thing to have, and Paul did have that. He was able to preach, and he was used of God to prophesy of things. We have them in the scriptures here for us. He understood mysteries. He understood, and he had great knowledge. God gave him great wisdom and great understanding and great knowledge. He had great faith. Mountain-moving faith, as Jesus speaks about, faith as a grain of mustard seed that could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would happen. But Paul said, if I have all those things and I don't have love, it's empty. There's nothing to it. You know, there are a lot of religions and lots of religious people, but God's looking for more than just an outward shell of religion. God's looking for heart, love, compassion, care. And Paul says, if I'm a very religious person, but I'm empty of love inside, it's really meaningless. It's nothing. People don't need dead religion that doesn't care about others. They need to see the evidence of God's love flowing through His people. Verse 3, he says that good deeds without love is also nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So I could be a very generous, kind, giving person, and I could give to the poor, and so we should help those in need. And the Bible speaks about that in many places. And Paul said, but if I do it without love in my heart, it's really nothing. It's empty. We need to do what we do because we have a love in our hearts. We realize that in the case of God Himself, the Bible says He so loved that He gave. He didn't give just to say, oh, I'll just get these people off my back. No, He so loved that He gave. His motivation for what He did was love. Our motivation for what we should do should be love. Is it good to be talented? Yes, but use those talents out of love for God and love for others. Be filled with love to use those things. Is it good to be religious in the sense of doing what God says in His Word? And the Bible talks about pure religion and undefiled before God. Is it good to do the good things? Yes, but let the motive be love for God and love for others. Is it good to be charitable towards others and to help them in their need? Yes, but let love be the basis of those things. Sometimes we need to stop and think about what we are doing. Not because we're doing the wrong thing, but because we've lost the motive for doing it, the right motive. Remember Martha and Mary, and they invited Jesus to their house, and Jesus was in their house, and Martha was cumbered about much serving. She was busy serving Jesus. Then she got upset because Mary wasn't. What happened, Martha? She was so bothered about all the externals, she lost the motive. She forgot why she was doing that. The love for Jesus. The love for the Lord. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the better part, which shall never be taken away. Mary said, I'm having this opportunity to spend time with Jesus and to hear His teaching because I love the Lord and what He has done for me. We need to examine our lives and see the basis, the motive for what we do. And so we see the value of love in verses 1 to 3. And then verses 4 to 7, we look at the character of love. That love that is so valuable is much different than what we have come accustomed to calling love in our world today. This love is far greater, almost unheard of. The character of this love is seen in the way it responds and the way it deals with other people. You know, it's one thing to claim to be loving, but that love is really evidenced by how we respond, how we live, and how we act towards others. Our interaction with other people. As the saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. It says that charity suffereth long in verse number 4. love, charity, suffers long. Suffering long is one word. In the original, it means to forbear, be patient, to patiently endure. One commentator says this, it denotes the state of mind which can bear long when oppressed, provoked, calumniated. And if you don't know what that means, neither did I, but I looked it up. So it means when malicious things are said about it, calumniated, and when one seeks to injure us. Love, charity, suffereth long. When things aren't going your way, when people are treating you unfairly and unjustly, how you respond is love. If you respond correctly, love suffers long. I'm reminded of Jesus, of whom it is said, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In 1 Peter 2:23, a true love is evidenced by our reactions to others who are not loving towards us. You know, it's relatively easy to love people back who love us. But true love, the Bible's love that we're speaking about here, suffereth long. When that love isn't demonstrated, how are you going to be then? Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you, Jesus said. Does this kind of love show itself in your actions towards others? How patient are you with others when they don't meet your expectations? Love, charity, suffereth long. But there's more, much more. He goes on to say, charity is kind. Is kind. Kind means to act benevolently, to do nice things for others just because, even if they don't deserve it. Not because it's Valentine's Day, necessarily, but just because. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Powerful statement, isn't it? Why is he kind to the unthankful and to the evil? Because he loves. God so loved the world. His kindness. Now so the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. With Christ for our example, in love we should show kindness to others, even when they don't deserve it. Charity, it goes on to say here in verse number 4, envieth not. Charity is not envious. Envy is jealousy and causes people to do all kinds of terrible things. The Bible says in Proverbs that jealousy is the rage of a man. The Bible says that of Joseph's brothers that they were moved with envy and sold them into slavery. The Bible says that envy caused some unbelieving Jews to set people up against Paul in Acts chapter 17. They were upset. They were jealous of the people being converted, and they caused some things. They were moved with envy. Envy causes people to do things that are not right often. Envy is a characteristic of our lost state without Christ. We read it last week in Galatians 5:21, but it's one of the works of the flesh. The Bible says that love, true love, charity, is not envious. True love is happy for the blessings on others and doesn't try to even the score or say, that's not fair, that's not right. True love says, that's great that that worked out for that person. That's great that they were blessed with that. That's a wonderful thing. That love is not envious. Love is neither not envious, but it's also not boastful. It says in verse number 4, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Vaunting speaks of boasting. It speaks of being a braggart. A true love doesn't boast about itself and push itself forward. It's not puffed up or filled with itself. Because love cares for others, it doesn't promote self to the putting down of others. Philippians 2:3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. It's not about me, but it's about caring for others. It's about loving other people. We live in a world where everyone wants to claim their rights. Well, I have my rights, and you can't tell me. But the Bible says that love vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Love is humble. and seeking the well-being of others. You know, if there was less vaunting of self in our world and its relationships, there would be far less strife and longer, happier relationships. If it wasn't looking out for, well, what's in it for me? More, how can I be a blessing to you? Boy, wouldn't this world be a different place? The Bible says that love, charity, vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. And then goes on to say in verse 5, it does not behave itself unseemly. It acts appropriately. To behave unseemly means to act inappropriately in a manner which causes reproach or disgrace. So the person who has this love, their love for God and love for others, causes them to act appropriately, accordingly, towards other people, towards those around about them and those in their circle of influence. To be in control of passions and actions. Love is not self-serving. And this is similar to vaunteth not itself, of course, but just a slightly different thought there. In verse number 5, seeketh not her own. Not self-serving and self-seeking. Again, we've mentioned it, that we have a tendency to seek what's in it for me, and I'll be part of this relationship as long as I get what I need out of it. But the Bible says that love is seeketh not her own. It's not seeking her own well-being, but rather that of others. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. That doesn't mean that you go and see if you can take your neighbor's nice new car and nice furniture out of the house. Not seeking their wealth for yourself, but seeking it for them. Imagine again how our relationships would be if we chose to serve rather than look to be served. Charity seeketh not her own. Looking out for others. True love asks, what can I do for others? Not, well, what have they ever done for me? Why should I do that for them? Verse 5 goes on to say that love really thinks the best, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Not easily provoked. That means thinking the best of other people. We get easily provoked when we think, I know why they're doing this. They're not pulling the wool over my eyes. I know they're just trying to get around this so that... Now the Bible says that love is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. It doesn't mean you have to be stupid to love somebody. But it means you think the best. You don't automatically think of ulterior motives of thinking, oh, I know what they're just trying to work the system for themselves. Bible tells us that we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It's not talking about being stupid, but it's talking about, love, true love thinks the best of people first. How many of us have taken somebody's actions completely wrong and either destroyed or damaged a relationship as a result? Because we say, I know what they're thinking. I know what you were thinking. You meant this and this and this. Whoa, where did that come from? No. I didn't think that, honestly. And afterwards we go, oh, man, why did I think that? Because it comes out that we were completely wrong in our thinking. Many times we take offense when we really should let it go. Remember hearing a long time ago, and probably as a teenager in some meetings, I managed to come and preach on the home and the family, and one of the first things that you should ask when somebody offends you is, should love cover this? That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about, not being easily offended, not easily provoked. Should love cover it? Should we just say out of love, listen, I'm not even going to bring that up, I'm not going to worry about it, I'm just going to forget it. Proverbs 14:17 says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Not easily provoked, soon angry. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. What does James say in James 1:19? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Love thinks the best. Our relationships will be much better if we would exhibit this characteristic of love. And love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It says in verse number 6, true love is not happy when someone does wrong or gets caught in a wrong. Say, boy, they got what it was coming to them. Boy, do they ever deserve that? Looks good on them. That's the Bible says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. There's a sadness in the heart of one who gets caught in a crime, not because sad that they got caught, but sad that they were involved in that in the first place. True love is not found in the wickedness and lust of the world. Pornography is not love. Lust is not love. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. True love rejoices in truth, in righteousness, in that which is good. John says in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's what brings joy. That's what brings rejoicing. Love rejoiceth in the truth. True love is built on honest, truthful relationships, rejoicing in the truth. Verse 7, we find that love puts up with a lot. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That word beareth or bear means to cover with silence. Just say, I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to forget about it. Proverbs 17:9 says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. You ever met somebody who tells all the embarrassing, humiliating stories about their spouse or somebody that they love and cares about in public? Oh, you never guess what they did. I can't believe it. They're so stupid. And can you imagine? That doesn't do good for a relationship when those things are brought up over and over and over and over again. When one does something to you, the Bible says that if you cover it with love, don't repeat it and keep dragging it up. How many times in relationships? Well, I remember 15 years and 2 days ago, you did this to me. He that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. That relationship is going to have division. He that seeketh love covereth. You forget about it. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. It doesn't mean that you say it's okay to do all kinds of wrong things. It means if somebody has done something to upset you, you don't just keep dragging it up, dragging it up, dragging it up. Forgive it and move on. In any relationship, there's a lot of give and take. In the marriage relationship, there's a lot of give and take, and sometimes it says, but I'm always the one that's taking it. I'm always the one that's saying, okay, 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 okay. Well, it may seem that way to you, but as it may be on the other end of it, it may seem that way, the other way to the other person. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 10:12. Beareth all things means it's not looking for an easy out, but is in it for the long haul. Till death us do part, not until upset us do part. True love builds lasting relationships because it's about commitment. Beareth all things, believeth all things. Again, that trust that we spoke about a few minutes ago. Love is built on trust. It's built in trust. It's built on trust. You have to love someone enough to trust them. Believeth all things, hopeth all things. There's that word hope again. That confident expectation. Love is confident and endureth all things. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. There are few relationships that stand that test today, but that's what the Bible says of love. It endureth all things. And sometimes it seems like an endurance. But love is willing to put in that endurance and put in that effort. People blame all kinds of things for destroying their marriage and relationships, but ultimately it's a lack of love that destroys relationships and destroys a marriage. Love is a decision and a commitment so it can endure what is thrown at it. Love endureth all things. You realize that love is a decision. It brings emotion, but it is a decision. We choose to love. Say, oh, my heart just fluttered when I saw that person. I just fell in love with them and that was the end of it. Well, if that's all there is to it, you're going to find that you're going to fall back out of that again. And I've talked to people over the years who have said, well, we used to be in love, but I just fallen out of love. No, you've stopped choosing to love because love is a decision. It's a choice. God chose to love us and we choose to love one another. We may find it easier some days than others, but ultimately it's a choice and it's a commitment. And so love endureth all things. There's a consistency of love in verses 8 to 12, and we read the verses. We'll not read them all again, but the Bible says here that charity never faileth. It's a consistent. It's always there. The Bible says other things will cease. Other things will stop. And in the context of what he's been speaking about in chapter 11 and 12, about the gifts of the Spirit and so on, he's saying that there's prophecies that will cease. It doesn't mean that God's word will no longer be fulfilled. It means that there'll be no new prophecies that will come because God has prophesied all he's going to tell us in his word, and it's there. It will cease. It won't be new ones. Whether there be tongues, they shall fail. The ability to speak other languages in a miraculous way as took place in the New Testament, that would come to an end. But love would remain. Love would be there. Love would continue to be there. Though other things will fail, love will not. That's why it can endure all things, because nothing can make it fail. Some talents and gifts were temporary in nature, but not love. Though the love of many will fail, according to Matthew 24, verse 12, because of the iniquity that will abound, God's love never will, because he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. His love is everlasting. Take the time to read this afternoon Romans chapter 8 verses 35 to 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it goes on to list a whole raft of different things, a whole bunch of different scenarios. Shall this, shall this, shall this, shall this, shall this? It goes on to say, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because neither death, life, angels, principalities, and so on will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Love is a constant. Love is a consistent. It will always be there. God is a God of love. And things to come will not even destroy that love because God's love never fails. And so we come to where we really began with the title of the message. Verse 13 that says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith is a great thing. We see answered prayers through faith, and we see God do great things by faith. And we look at Hebrews chapter 11 as we studied a few months ago, and we say all those things were accomplished by faith. Faith is wonderful. Hope is a great thing. Hope, we talked about that constancy and that consistency that brings our life, that peace and that joy of knowing that what God says is true and we can take it to the bank, as it were, and believe it. It brings that joy in our life. We say hope is a great thing. Hope, faith, and love are all abiding. They're all there. They're all consistent. But God says, but the greatest of these is charity. Or love. Do you have the love that is greater than hope? The love that is greater than faith? What a topic it is to think about love. We've really just scratched the surface a little bit even in 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. We look at that love and we go, wow, how can anybody love that way? And we have to say, we know one who has. God's love is perfectly pictured for us in what we've read this morning in those verses 4 to 7. God's love is a giving, caring love. It's a love that gives, though there's no expectation of return. It's a love that's kind. It's a love that is envies not. It's a love that is not about itself, and God is not about Himself. It's all these things that we see in God's love to man. And Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yes, His love fits all the descriptions we've looked at this morning. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God so loved you and so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a wonderful thing we can meet together today to say what a beautiful picture there is of love and what a beautiful example there is of love. And I would ask you this morning, have you received the gift of His love, salvation by grace through faith? You aren't worthy of it, neither am I. But He loved us that much. Christian, you say, yeah, I know that love. I've received that love. Praise God, I'm saved. How is your love? Do you have a love in your life demonstrated through your life that is greater than hope and faith? You say, well, I do all kinds of good things. I use my talents for the Lord. I'm very religious. Is it empty? Is it nothing? Or is it something because it's motivated by love? How are your reactions to other people? Maybe when they don't deserve love. Is your love easily provoked or not easily provoked? Does it vaunt itself or does it seek the well-being of others? Do you exemplify God's love in your life? To your spouse, if you're married, to your children, to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers, to your neighbors, to those with whom you have interaction in this life. See, but they don't deserve it. Did you deserve it? Did I deserve it when God said, I love you so much, I'm sending my Son? No. That's the kind of love we're talking about this morning. Do you have a love that is greater than hope?